All right. Is anyone not ready?
I have no notes for this one. That's why I'm just going to hang in the back and every once in a while, you know, say something stupid.
What awesome.
It's going to be like
Redemption Cast. Is this for Crush?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we're doing Potential Cast first.
And then we're doing the Thin Blue Line or something?
Thin Deadline.
The Thin Deadline. Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Every freelance writer's nightmare.
Those are the two I just watched. Good.
All right. Steph, do you remember what you're supposed to do?
Yes.
Awesome. So I think we are ready. Let's see. I think here we go.
Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
Is it my turn?
Yep.
Sorry. This is Season 5, Episode 14, Crush. Buffy is shocked to discover Spike is in love with her, a situation made dangerously worse by Drusilla's unexpected arrival back in Sunnydale.
I mean, we were all expecting it, right?
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
I'm not Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm Carol.
I'm Tammy.
I'm not Gabby either.
And you're listening to Potential Cast.
Yay!
Welcome.
Long time no chat, guys.
Yeah. It's all good. It's a shorter hiatus than the last time.
Yes.
And we're actually recording on the day we plan to record. Yeah. So, folks, for those of you who tune in just for Gabby, you can stop listening.
Oh, crap.
She'll I gotta go, guys. She'll be back in a couple weeks for the next episode of Potential Cast. I'm going to try to make her feel really bad and guilt trip her into doing another Gabentary. See how that goes.
Good. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, so we have a substitute co-host. We have an early co-host. And we have a guest. Let's start with the most important part, guest. Carol.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
Good to be now, here.
This is the first time we have you on, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank goodness. How long was the wait?
I've been listening to you since your first recording.
Wow, June 17th, 2010.
Yeah, and I signed up as soon as Stephanie opened it up. And actually, this was not what I was scheduled for. Ooh. I was scheduled for another year from now.
Oh, my goodness. However did you manage that?
That was the first one that was open is in season 6 when I signed up way back however many years ago it was, and this one opened up I don't know, a few months ago whenever Steph invited me to participate. So
yay,
and this happens to be one of my favorite episodes. So
awesome. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Tammy's here. For those of you who don't know, Tammy is the spirit.
I am.
Intro to X. An Tammy intro cast is where they do the X-Files. And we'll be doing the X-Files until 2017.
Yeah, right? I don't know if it'll take... Will it take that long,
We will be grandparents.
Don't ask Tammy.
I might be a grandparent.
No, I say... Yeah, maybe 2017. Jeez.
No, I won't be a grandparent. Think...
Yeah, don't be a grandparent by then, Illyrio.
Jeez, I don't even want to be a grandparent.
Ooh, I'll be 42, which is Mulder's apartment number.
Oh, please.
So the ultimate question of the universe, life, and everything is what's the dumbest apartment number?
Best.
Awesome. Yeah. So Tammy, welcome. Thanks for
hanging in there.
For stepping in to Gabby's giggly shoes.
Yes, and I laugh a lot. I think that's why she asked if I wanted to do it.
Fantastic. And Robin's here. We usually record with Robin a little later for Redemption Cast. But he offered to come on the show, and we were like, yeah, let's do that. So there might be many voices. So we'll try to be polite and stuff. Kim and I won't have any problems with that.
None at all.
As is our stereotypical fashion.
So polite with a U.
Yes. Roulette. Yes. Yes, we do. Everything is spelled with a U. Especially the word everything. So, Steph.
Yes.
I think we might have the shortest episode ever of Potential Cast, because once we finish talking about Harmony role-playing as Buffy, I don't think we can move on to anything else. I have not laughed out loud that hard since the Harmony Xander slap fight.
No, but what makes it even better is, you know, Buffy is seriously concerned about how she's supposed to deal with Dawn now that Dawn knows, you know, that she's the key. And Giles is like, it's okay. I think she needs, you know, you to. And so she's like, immediately, you stole my sweater. And we think that Dawn stole the sweater because that's what little sisters do. And Spike has the sweater.
That was funny. I laughed out loud at that bit.
Yeah.
Smash cut to him sniffing the sweater. It's just too funny.
That was awesome.
Yeah. As much as I really don't like where that storyline's going, I was upset that after such a great episode with, believe it or not, Dawn, and then we followed up with this.
This? Okay. Really? You say that as though you didn't enjoy it.
Well, I was looking forward to more plot development. I enjoyed the episode. Don't get me wrong. Drusilla is one of my favorite characters. She's probably my favorite after Angelus.
You wanted more mythology episode, not so much Stalker of the Week?
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed the episode, but I was just upset with them not following up on last week, because last week was a really good one, too. Anyways, okay, let's get on with it.
So the way that they've portrayed this quote-unquote relationship between Buffy and Spike, it took me, it really kind of hit me hard. I was taken aback, is what I think I'm trying to say, uh-huh, when Spike sat next to Buffy at the Bronze, and then Buffy was like, what are you doing? Like, really harsh and Bitka-y.
Oh, yeah. The entire episode, I want to punch her in the face.
Because we've had so many moments where they've actually been kind of okay with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular moment of the Bronze was even before she knew that he had a quote-unquote crush on her. So it's not like she was being ultra defensive about that. She was just not being very nice to him.
Well, but to Buffy, it's okay to use Spike when she needs him.
Mm-hmm.
To fight or mm-hmm. to look for Dawn or whatever. But when he's just chumming up to her like he's part of the Scoobies, that's when she's like, wait, you are crossing a line.
Mm.
But yeah, she's been using him all this time.
Yeah. True.
I just don't like the idea of them getting together at all. Even if it's one-sided, it makes my stomach crawl. I don't like it one bit.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know where else they can go other than Spike and Buffy get together. Or,
really?
Or they're or throwing us off and it's going to be Dawn and Spike.
Tell me a little bit.
Can I just also highlight another one of my favorite parts? Xander feeling all upset that he was no longer the object of Buffy's fictitious sister's crush.
Oh, that was so funny.
Funny Xander.
I also kind of laugh when Buffy just plopped down in that train seat on top of where a dead body was probably an hour ago.
Mm. Oh, my God. Totally, totally predictable, but I laughed so hard. That was really awesome.
Did anybody notice the line she said as she did it? It's totally. She says something about it being creepy.
Yes.
Yeah. It was. It was so funny. And then you know, they leave because they figure they can't figure anything out. It's a dead end. But then all of a sudden, there's... I forget the doll's name. What's the doll's name? Drusilla's doll's name.
Miss Edith.
So Miss Edith is up there. And I'm like, oh, Drusilla! Because I didn't look at the guest starring...
Good.
Opening credits, but I look and I see that, and at first I'm, oh, and then I realize, wait a second, she wouldn't just leave Miss Edith in the train, would she?
She's very capricious.
I suppose.
Can I just say one thing I really liked about that Buffy sitting in the chalk outline thing, mm-hmm, is the fact that she sits exactly like the person was in there.
Masking tape outline. Like
unconsciously, just exactly. Yes.
Although they could have used that Taylor's chalk, which is kind of like soap. You know Taylor's soap?
Did they have that in the early 2000s?
Well, yeah. I mean, whenever I've gone in for a suit, they've used that. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Taylor's chalk. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like soap, right?
It
has a soapy feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it washes out.
But would it have had made the same impact?
Too thin, correct.
Yeah. Pick it up on camera.
Yeah.
And the masking tape picks up all the lint. Kind of helps out the train conductor where the chalk.
This is true.
But oh my gosh, Mr. Mom was on TV yesterday. The part where he falls and he's not quite in line with the outline and then he has to scoot over. Yep. Y'all don't remember Mr. Mom?
I remember Mr. Mom. One of Michael Keaton's greatest.
Hilarious.
It really is good.
I want to talk about the flowering onion.
The blooming onion?
I hate that Gabby's not here.
I'll be Gabby. The bronze!
Okay, so the bronze was damaged. During the episode. Fine.
Sorry. Go ahead. Artie!
I wasn't even paying attention to this episode. We did this all night.
So maybe I was being happy.
You were saying, Kim?
It was Stephanie.
Stephanie, you were saying?
I don't know.
The blooming onion.
Blooming onion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it got something out of the menu.
It
got something out of the menu.
It got remodeled?
Remodeled.
Yeah, it got remodeled. I didn't want to steal anyone's quote, but okay.
Oh.
It got remodeled out of the menu because the bronze got remodeled.
Yay.
Did they make it bigger? Because it looked bigger.
Like 8 times bigger?
Yeah. Like 8 million times bigger?
It has a more modern-looking sign, doesn't it?
Yes. I don't know if I like this new bronze.
Yeah.
I do appreciate Spike ripping off Xander, though.
That was classic.
That was great.
That was really funny. Xander all proud. And, hey, I got paid today. Whoop. What happened here? Yeah, so...
Willow's having headaches after
the
spell.
I'm worried because they kind of just mentioned it briefly and then didn't go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, doesn't bode well for Willow.
You think something's going to happen to Willow?
I think she's going to go bad or something. And then she's going to try to kill Buffy and I'll be super happy.
How long have you been predicting that, Illyria?
A very long time.
Yeah. I don't think she'll go bad. Well, she might because wasn't it a fan favorite when she was a bad vampire? So she can have a chance of acting bad again.
Oh, that's true. Doppelgangland.
So she might go bad again.
I might go bad again. She might, anyway. We'll see. Hopefully she has something to do with the Joyce Dawn Buffy's Choice thing.
And then they're not going to talk about Glory because they have forgotten about Glory as Ben is Glory.
Yeah,
and Ben is there.
Ben is there.
Mm-hmm. And people do look. It's amazing when you see people in uniforms every day, and then you see them out in public. They look like a totally different person.
Yeah. Unless you know. Like one of the people I knew a while ago, you're always in your scrubs.
I was so upset that they didn't, again, follow up with the whole Ben Glory thing.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Do you guys like Ben, though? I mean, do you like him as a character?
I just want to know if Ben and Glory are this, like, what's happening with them? Why they're the same person or the same whatever?
I need some clarification as well. Yeah, I don't really like or dislike Ben. I don't really care for him, but I don't dislike him. I think that it's a little bit weird for him to say Glory is coming and then not another.
He turned
peep.
Into her.
And
I also want to know why Dawn doesn't remember Ben being there. She's not quite sure. I want to know if she's lying. Or if he put, like, some spell on her.
Maybe she is a 14-year-old and she has ADD.
I don't think you would forget someone changing into another person.
Well, you know, hey, let me tell you, they don't pay attention.
Oh, here we go again.
So true.
I enjoyed listening to this last time.
They can't find anything. They don't pay attention. They know nothing.
Yeah.
My daughter is the opposite of all of that.
Uh-huh. But isn't she
I have
two?
15-year-old. She is an angel.
Oh, you have a 15-year-old. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like a beige angel, or
like a pink one?
Would she be an Angela?
yeah, an Angela. Okay. Sure. Okay.
So she is appropriately responsible.
Yeah. She's not these slackers that you keep talking about. She's a perfect little child.
I can't wait to have a 14-year-old.
Yeah, you know, all kids admittedly are different, but I have to go with Steph on, you know, I teach middle school and stuff like that.
Oh, you are definitely the expert. You deal with most of them.
And I have a 17-year-old and 14, 15. Oof. It's a tough, tough age. And they can be total angels, but also...
total heathens.
The devil incarnate at times.
Wow. That sucks.
Yeah.
She knows how to break my heart.
But they grow out of it, which is great. Stephanie, they grow out of it.
Do they learn to fix their own food? I just want that day where she fixes her own food. That's all I ask for.
Just stop doing it, and then she'll have to figure it out for herself.
But the thing is, she doesn't. She'll not eat. She just will not eat.
Oh, by the way, the thing about the cutting from last time.
Yes.
My son and I were watching it last night, and I mentioned to him that people found it overly dramatic, and he was just started laughing, and he was like, "Are you kidding me? Kids will cut themselves for nothing." You know,
that's true.
Oh my God, that's disturbing.
He said, "This is."
I need to check on my 15-year-old.
He said, "They'll, you know, this is. She's not being overly dramatic at all." The way he put it. So, and I had to agree with him.
Really? Oh my gosh! Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been so long since I've been a teenager.
Yeah, but you know, they do get very, very dramatic over almost nothing. It's amazing how dramatic that age is. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of put it to the back of our heads. Yeah. You know, it's like once we get to be a little older, we're like, no, I was never like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I know
dramatic.
My mother tells me all the time, when you were Morgan's age, I could not stand you. You you hated me and I hated you. I'm like, I do not remember that.
Maybe that's why Dawn doesn't remember Ben and Glory.
I was going to say, it all makes
sense. She's too self-involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
But okay. It's a tough age.
Yeah. So back to Harmony pretending to be Buffy.
Please.
I am upset that we missed out on seeing the conversation of Spike asking Harmony to do that. You know what I mean? Because
it wasn't like he was hiding the shrine to Buffy. So Harmony must have seen it.
Really? No, it was covered up.
Was it?
And she was the one that suggested the game. So I feel like
suggested a game. Yes.
This is not like the first time this is
that they've role played.
It's probably the first time they played Buffy. Yeah.
That's awesome. I really hope that was a plastic Spike. And really, the Hunchback of Notre Dame?
So yeah. What they're saying is the Hunchback of Notre Dame is, even though he's in love with Esmeralda, is that her name?
Yep.
He has selfish motivations, and they're saying that Spike is in love with Buffy, and he is being very selfish with his love for her, his affections towards her, right?
Yeah. This was a pretty big debate at the time, from what I know, about, you know, is a chipped Spike as good as a sold angel, and is he really good, or is he evil, or what the deal is?
What I feel like maybe is his love for Buffy, or whatever, is affecting him and making him a better person, undead person, whatever.
What do you guys think?
I don't know. I hope not. I just don't like the two of them together, so I really could care less. But the stuff with Spike and the chip, why didn't he start or feel any pain when he bit the girl on top of that catwalk thingy?
Because she was already dead.
Drusilla broke her neck, and
that's
then
that's right. Like, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Dawn shows up at Spike's house, and they start talking. And then, you know, Spike is like, well, what does Buffy say about me? And then Buffy goes off to find Dawn, and goes to find Spike to use him to help her, but she finds Dawn there. And then Dawn, when they're leaving, tells Buffy, you realize he's got, like, totally into you, right?
Oh, and Buffy is just clueless. She has totally no clueless idea.
Yeah.
She's an idiot.
Well, yes.
Again, she ran to Spike when she needed him.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't think she's giving him mixed signals. Come on now.
Yeah, I guess.
She was there by herself. If she was there with the Scoobies, it would have been like, hey, it's the whole gang's looking for my sister. It's like just the two of them.
Mm-hmm. But it's like Buffy doesn't see him as a man.
Correct.
As a potential love interest at all. He's a tool, I guess.
Because he doesn't brood enough.
Yeah, I don't think she's real insightful about people. I don't think that's part of the Slayer toolbox.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I do find it odd that Spike does not have a soul, correct?
Correct.
So how come he acts like he does?
Does he?
Because it's leftover humanity from when he was a fool for love.
I don't know.
No, then all the other demons would be the same way. Well, potentially. I think that he's doing it because he thinks that's what Buffy wants.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
I
don't think he would be good at for any other reason than just to be like, hey, Buffy's a good gal. Maybe I should be the good guy, then she'll like me.
I mean, he basically says that in the scene we haven't gotten to yet. And yeah. if you look at any of the episodes that we've seen so far, Spike only does nice things when he thinks it's going to get him on the good side of Buffy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was ready to feed the babies to the troll up until Buffy walked in and he decided, oh, maybe Buffy wouldn't like that.
This is true. So Buffy and Xander go investigate the train murder scene.
They just walk past that police tape, don't they?
Well, listen, we've known for many years now that Sunnydale police are entirely incompetent.
Sunny yeah. D. Come on.
And so that's where Xander has his little fit about no longer being Dawn's crush.
And that creepy doll.
And then we see the creepy doll. And then, lo and behold, what's the next scene about? The Summers girls, minus Buffy, laughing it up with Spike. That Summer's kitchen, and they gabbing and gabbing. Were they talking about passions, you think? I know that when we saw them, they were actually talking about something that Joyce was saying about a very boring thing that happened at a gallery. Because like if that. It was interesting, we would have been there by now, but we've never been. Spoiler alert, are we ever going to see the gallery?
Robin.
Yes, no.
Is that your automatic response to every potential spoiler? Well, that's awesome. Not? Yes, no. That's awesome.
It's a spoiler.
Is it really?
Yeah, talking about future episodes. Yeah, totally. Or what doesn't happen in future episodes?
Still a spoiler.
But you know, I'm thinking about Dawn having a crush on Spike. I remember the only older boy I really knew, like when I was, you know, growing up, was a friend's older brother. And you know, you think he's so cool until you get a tad bit older and you see the other guys in his class. And then that person seems very lame, and you've moved on to obsessed about the really cool guys in that class.
Oh, poor lame guy.
So I just imagine.
Like Xander is like, Stephanie doesn't like me anymore. Let's go.
That'd be awesome. So then Spike takes Buffy out on a what can best be described as a what's the word I'm looking for?
Stakeout.
No, it's
date. Another stakeout.
A really lame date.
Yeah, it's not impromptu. A sneak date.
Attack date.
Yes, a sneak attack date.
What's that? So awkward.
What's the word? There's a word that means sneak attack.
Blitzkrieg.
Ambush?
No, Blitzkrieg.
Ambush.
Yes, ambush. An ambush date.
Oh, okay. An ambush date, okay.
And he tells her how he feels, and the look on her face was awful.
Oh, total disgust.
Oh my god, I did not expect that response. I expected her to not have this immediate revulsion. You know? Because, you know, she has a type.
But it's Spike!
I guess he's too blonde.
But it's Spike!
Yeah, it's Spike.
Exactly.
Anyway, Spike is all sad and lonely.
Oh, poor Spike.
Goes home and Drusilla is there!
Did you expect Drew to
I
be
did, this? Because she... I figured that she was the one that was on the train.
Really? You didn't think it was anybody else? I thought it was a flashback, to tell you the truth. And I was like, oh, what did Spike do on the train?
Oh.
And then, like, they said someone who just came. I was like, damn it. Mm.
And then as soon as I saw the doll whose name I always forget, Edith?
Yeah. Yes, Edith. Miss Edith.
Yeah, then it was like, oh, yeah, true.
I didn't expect it to be here. But then when I saw Harmony, I was like, oh, maybe it's Harmony.
Hmm.
I think that's probably, is that why Harmony was in this episode, to throw us off?
Maybe, or maybe because she lives there.
No, but they've showed him or go maybe back to work into the end.
Well, I think also they were dealing with all different crushes.
Yeah, that's true.
Harmony had a crush on Spike, and
but they've shown him go back to that place a couple times when she wasn't there.
That's true.
So, but anyways, it was good to see her.
And one of my favorite scenes in this episode was Harmony talking to Spike as though he had hired some cheap whore to dress up like Drew and something about a threesome, I think.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Was anybody else kind of disturbed when Spike got really aggressive with Harmony and pushed her?
It was a little unexpected because of what we've seen so far with Spike, but I guess because Buffy wasn't involved, then he can be vicious, and he can be vicious with a vampire as much as he wants, so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was a little weird.
He didn't get a little twinge when he threw her.
Well, she's a vampire.
She's a vampire.
Yeah, she's bad. Right.
Yeah, I won't even pay attention anymore.
Gabby, I mean Kim.
I know the answers to all of this.
And you're a doctor too. No, you're not. Something
we have to talk about.
Yes.
The way Spike was dressed in this episode.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even notice.
He was dressed like a normal guy.
You didn't notice at the bronze at the beginning that he wasn't wearing his black coat and his usual.
But he was wearing like a short black leather coat instead.
I think it was brown.
I thought he was wearing a blue shirt.
Yeah, it was underneath his coat, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I posted it in the group.
He wasn't wearing like the duster.
No. Yeah. No.
And he was wearing like brown pants too.
Yeah, he had brown leather jacket and blue shirt.
Blue shirt, brown pants.
Yeah.
But he looked nice. He did not appear. He didn't appear like a vampire. I don't want to say he didn't appear like a vampire. He appeared, to me, normal instead of somebody who is trying to look different like a vampire.
I think it was the first time he's been out of his vampire clothes except for the Hawaiian shirt back in Doomed. When he had to wear Xander's clothes.
But when he went out to the bronze with Drew, is that when he put the trench coat back on?
That's when he put his. That's when he went back to being Spike. Mm.
And then Drew and Spike are dancing. Drew spots a couple up in the rafters, which is really well lit and visible when they're down there. But apparently when they get up there, nobody can see what they're doing.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
It's a classic vampire killing spot.
Yeah, the rafters. I just like how long it took for Spike to get back in vamp face. Like, he really was, like, had to think about it.
Yeah, there was definitely some conflict there.
But right before that, they had the scene with Joyce and Willow telling Buffy that, that she was sending mixed signals, that she had to clear this up, that Spike will twist this. So she goes to his crypt to make herself clear, which she seemed pretty clear to me at the ambush date.
I think as soon as the idea dawned on her, that she's been very clear about that prospect and how she feels about it. I don't know why people insist on making it, the woman's fault, to be frank.
That always occurs to me whenever I see that scene.
Like, really? We're going to blame Buffy? We're going to blame the object of psychotic obsession attention for the psychotic attention obsession? It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's
what
my...
What more could she do?
That's my biggest problem with this episode in general. Not because, it was out of character, but the reactions I hear from this episode are Buffy's a bitch. And Spike is awesome.
Really?
To me, it's quite honestly not like that at all for me.
Wow. Yeah,
I mean, she was being a little bit bitchy compared to what I would have expected her reaction to be. But I don't think it's cool for Joyce and Willow to be like, "Ooh, maybe you should." You know, I mean, she never invited this.
She wasn't being a bitch to Spike. She was just being rude and just, you know.
No matter.
Are we talking about the last scene when they're about to fight?
Yeah, no. Sorry.
Go ahead, Robin.
To me, it's like, yeah, okay, she's a bit of a bitch at the beginning of the episode, okay, because she's asked Spike to be there for her, you know, and she's confided in him. She's asked him. She's come to him for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But and so obviously when he when he confesses to her his feelings, you know, she might have been a little bit more gentle about it. But at the end, Buffy's not asking for any of that. And Spike is, I don't know, he doesn't come off to me as cool at all.
No. Oh, no.
In that.
No. So. No. He's, as far as I'm concerned, I kind of like Spike being the twisted, predatory, messed up creature that he is. And I, mm-hmm. some people want to make him into like this kind of noble kind of guy, and other people want to just hate him altogether. I like that weird combination that he is.
Hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that it's more complicated than that. And I think that some people, I don't know, I'm not pointing out anybody. I'm not actually thinking of anybody, just fandom in general.
Mm-hmm. just, I agree. Just,
you know, sees it more as like, well, he loves her and Buffy's being a bitch.
How he's also dare fucking... she have her own sense of preference of mate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
And I think for Buffy, the evilness of Spike, that, you know, that at his core, he's got a great big lump of evil, being a vampire, it overrides everything. And so she reacts that way with him.
Agreed. So,
kind of like Kim, like, I think.
I don't like it.
can
Wait,
we get
what?
Right to the?
Am I just insulted? Hold on. What?
No.
I'm kidding.
No. Don't like Spike all along. And,
okay.
The hell, Kim.
So that made.
But Kim, let me ask you this: Is it that you don't like this, or is it that you like with me? I feel exactly the way Buffy feels about Spike. He is this is repulsive.
Yeah, a bit of both. I don't like that they're putting them together because it's just too obvious. You know what I mean?
And seriously, I felt just like you back when I was watching this. I was like, what?
There's no chemistry at all between them. They just, it's a,
really?
They put them together out of convenience because guess what? They're two main actors of the show.
Hmm.
How are we going to, you know, I am not a fan. I just don't like it. Plus, she's had this epic relationship with Angel. Why put her with another vampire? Mm-hmm. It just, no, not right.
Because it's better than Riley.
Yes.
Better than Ben?
What relationship has she had with Ben?
I'm just saying.
Well, she's obviously smitten
Buffy,
with Ben.
Buffy gets together with Ben.
I didn't say that.
In the middle of their, well, he turns into Glory.
That would be insane.
That would be amazing.
Oh my god.
It's banana.
Okay. Why cattle prod?
Cattle prod? Because Spike was a fan of WWF superstar The Mountie, is why.
Where did he get it?
Also known as Jacques Rougeau. One half of the really awesomely lame tag team, the Quebecers. That's why.
Is that a real thing?
Oh, yes. Oh, my. Oh, yes.
The Quebecers.
Yeah. It was the really lull period of wrestling when nobody was watching. So the gimmicks were really lame.
So the 90s.
Yep.
So, early 90s. Okay. Is a cattle prod like a taser? Because yeah. I was almost tased at work the other night, scared the living daylights
out of me. What? What happened?
Oh, because somebody brought me a taser, and another fellow employee grabbed it and like pointed it at me and pressed the, like she didn't know what she was doing, and she engaged it or whatever you do.
Oh my goodness!
And like I could feel it in my like in my teeth and my the hair on my arm stood up, and I could just feel it. But it didn't shock me, but I could feel the
electricity.
Yes.
Like gathering around.
Yes, it was like I could feel it in my teeth. It was disturbing. Don't touch other people's weapons.
How about don't have weapons?
Yes. Don't bring your weapon into work where somebody unknown could grab it. And, yeah, that's why I have no weapons. Because, anyway.
What about your hunga manga?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't bring your weapon into my dimension.
So, okay, what's going on?
Cattle prods are like tasers. And so Buffy gets tased, cattle prodded by Spike. Drew's super happy.
It's probably better to just say tased.
Buffy gets prodded by Drew.
Oh yeah, by Drew. You're right. And then she gives it. And then she gives the taser cattle prod to Spike, and then he tases her. He tases Drew.
And she. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And then they wake up, or Buffy wakes up, and she's tied up, and Drew's tied up. Lovely.
So I wonder what's going on here.
I didn't get why he turned on a dime on Drusilla.
Because he loves Buffy
and realized, I love her and I'm over you now, Drew.
I don't want anybody but Buffy.
Yeah. I wonder if he realized when he was feeding on that chick.
Hmm.
I just think it's so stupid why we're even chatting about this. But anyway, sorry.
He's still obsessed with Buffy, but Drew brought out that violent part of him, and he went with like the old Spike, but still with the obsession of Buffy.
Like, I hope something doesn't happen in the future where they pull the chip out of him and he realizes, you know what, guys, I'm gonna stay being good because being bad is wrong. That would make me just vomit. I think that he needs to be bad. The end.
Good night.
There's just something disturbing about Spike not being Spike. You know what I mean?
Mm. Uh-huh.
Being this lovesick puppy is not something you like.
No, I think it's ridiculous. But when Spike came out.
Sorry.
But when he was introduced to us, balls to the walls, bad guy, and all of a sudden he's turned into like the complete opposite, or he's reverted back to what he was before. I don't know.
He was obsessed with Drew back then.
Yeah. Maybe just because it wasn't so pathetic. I don't know.
You ever have those friends that like just pretty much like act however the girl they're with or the guy they're with?
Yes, that makes me so upset.
I'm so into NASCAR right now. Really? Really?
But yeah, I mean, that is Spike.
Mm-hmm.
He was with Drew. She loved him to be the tortury kind of guy, and so he was. And now he's obsessed with Buffy, and he's ready to. I won't take a quote, but to not be evil, if that's what it takes.
I'm gonna shake him and say, "Snap out of it!"
All right, so they have this conversation about if you can be in love and not have a soul. And Drew said, What does Drew say? Yes,
well, I can't say specifically, but she says that they what, can love each other or something like that.
She says we can. Yeah, we can love and well, though not wisely or something. Hang on a minute.
But she like says yes, they can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Harmony shows up with a crossbow. Harmony shoots back.
I get it.
Anyway, they all fight. Big, you know, climactic fight. Drew gets out of the chains. She and Buffy fights. Spike unchains Buffy? Is this what happens?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Drew just leaves, correct?
No.
Okay, what happens?
Oh, she leaves once Spike turns on her.
Once he hit her, she's like, I'm out of here.
She, like, yeah, she says something very dismissive to Spike and then leaves.
And then Harmony backs away. Mm-hmm. And then Buffy punches Spike into the shrine of her.
Yeah, poor Spike, shamed by his own shrine.
So Buffy goes home and Spike follows her and he tells her not to shut him out of her life and she has uninvited him.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. That's harsh.
That's really harsh. The
Is
end.
It though?
It's not harsh.
No, it's safe.
He knocked her out and tied her up.
This is true.
Yeah.
And it's offered true. To kill her.
Yep.
Yeah.
If she didn't love him. If she didn't admit it.
Oh, yeah. Well, he went totally crazy bonkers.
Yeah, he did. He was kind of trying to manipulate her.
Just,
yeah.
If she didn't give him a smidgen of hope.
Right. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like a freaking 13-year-old.
Yeah. Which is, earlier on, I thought it was really interesting that Dawn was the one that can manipulate Spike, because Spike is always manipulating everybody. Mm-hmm. But she manipulates him like crazy with, oh, you know, Buffy says this and Buffy says that. And he looks like a 14-year-old boy too.
Clearly a lot of teenager hate mail.
I
Listen,
know.
I'm 14. Sorry, guys.
Oh, teenagers, what do they know? They don't know what podcasts are.
I was just surprised I said Spike was acting like a 13-year-old. Like, I'm 13 and I don't act anything like Spike, so shut up.
I'm going to go back to my Transformers.
Right now, I'm bitter at young people for not being excited about the new Doctor.
Oh, Peter Scolari, he's awesome.
That's the third time I've heard you do that joke.
Yeah, I am not going to stop doing that joke. Or man. Not going to stop.
I don't get it.
The new Doctor's name is Peter Capaldi, but I instantly think Peter Scolari.
Okay, is Peter Scolari Tom Hanks's co-star in Bosom Buddies?
Yes, he was also on Newhart.
Yeah, we were watching
with the big glasses.
That Thing You Do.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks's movie that he directed, and mm-hmm. he has Rita Wilson in it, and then he has Peter Scolari in it. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. His bosom buddy co-star.
Yeah, yeah. But Peter Capaldi, I saw him. Like, I know this guy, and I was like, oh my god, it's Frobisher. Because that's what I recognize him most as is the guy from Children of Men. No, from Children of Earth. I haven't seen Children of Men.
Oh, you really should.
I will eventually.
Great movie.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah. But yeah, you know why people don't like him?
Why?
Because he's old. People are stupid.
Right. Because they think old is not cool and not hip. And but I'm he really is happy. Very cool.
Because I remember very early on when I heard Matt Smith was leaving, I'm like, I hope they go to more of a John Pertwee older guy thing. They totally did.
Are we still talking about Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Hey, this is big news. This is huge news.
This is huge news. It's like the next Bond.
It's like the Geek Pope.
The Geek Pope. We saw white smoke. There was white smoke coming out of the BBC. Yeah, just less ridiculous. And much more significant to all of our lives. So, that aside, that is the end of the episode. I think it's time for some feedback. What do you guys think?
Oh my gosh, feedback.
Heidi writes in, hey, Gaxon guest. Skargan guest. Actually, no, it's Stax. No, it's... Oh, wait.
Cats.
Scar.
Cats. Cats. Targs. Anyway.
Targs? Let's not do that one.
I think my favorite thing about this episode is Xander laughing when Buffy says Dawn thinks Spike is in love with her. It's just so funny. Did you know it was Drew on the train? Buffy, Drusilla, and Harmony all in the same room with Spike. Wow. It's all very messed up, but that's how Spike works. He's an evil vampire after all. But poor Spike, he ends up with no women at all. All joking aside, though, I really do feel bad for him when he realizes his invitation to Buffy's house has been revoked. That was something he liked to throw in Riley's face, and he knows what it means for Buffy to do that. A very enjoyable episode for me. I was originally signed up to guest, but decided to let someone else have it. Hope you all enjoyed it. Heidi. Thank you, Heidi.
Aww. Thanks, Heidi.
Taryn says, hello, potential cast. It's been a while since I've sent you an email, but I wanted to let you know my thoughts on Crush. This is a great episode. Drusilla is back, and I know you're all excited. Did you love the little reference to what's been going on in Angel while Drusilla was talking to Spike? I watched Buffy first, so I didn't catch that tidbit until I did a rewatch. But I love the darkness to Spike's obsession with Buffy. At times, it is played for laughs, but it is ultimately shown as something deeply unhealthy and not something to be overly romanticized. Also, I completely adore the parallels between Spike and Quasimodo from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. The novel, not the Disney movie. I think there's a lot of truth in the idea that Spike's actions are from a selfish motivation and that he hasn't really changed because he's still incapable of understanding right from wrong. What do you guys think? Does Spike really love Buffy, or is he just a disgusting demon? Keep up the great work. So, does he love her? I'm going to say no.
I don't know.
Because you don't tie up those that you love unless they ask you to do it first.
I think...
Oh, Illyrio, I have something to ask you later.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think he's a bit obsessed with her, obviously, but I don't think he's in love with her. I think it's chip-related.
But... But
if he didn't have that, he wouldn't be in love with her.
At the end of Fool for Love, Drusilla called him on being obsessed with Buffy already.
Oh, yeah?
That's why she broke up, one of the reasons she broke up with him.
I think all of those, I think all the vampires are somewhat obsessed with Buffy. She's a slayer. She's like a celebrity to them, right?
I guess.
Angelus was obsessed with Buffy too, you know.
And Slayer blood, didn't we? We already found this out. I'm not about to spoil anything.
No, no, it was in Fool for Love.
Okay, that's what I thought. Slayer blood is an aphrodisiac.
Not as good as fairy blood.
Yes. Sir.
True blood spoilers.
So maybe that has one. Maybe vampires are attracted to the Slayer's blood, and they don't. Nobody
it's all
really
about the pheromones, man.
Is this Ciaran?
That's Bratters.
Bratters,
the original.
All
go
right,
for
I'm
it, Steph.
Bratters is the new Bratters.
Dear Gaxon Guest, finally, another Spike-centric episode, only the second Spike-centric episode of this season, which indicates the need for more. This episode opens with a return to the Bronze. Yay, I must say that the Buffy and Spike conversation in this scene was so awkward. I mean, why on earth is Spike talking about the rebuilding of the Bronze like he gives a crap, and what is he wearing? I do love that Xander and Spike The Xander and Spike scene in this episode, Spike stealing Xander's change, is such a Spike thing to do. I love it. Side note, what is up with Buffy? Her choice of men is so awful. First Angel, then Parker, then Riley, and now she is trying to make the moves on Ben / Glory in the Bronze. Oh, dear Buffy, move on.
What's wrong with Angel?
We find out Dawn has a crush on...
Yeah, what's wrong, Angel?
Robin, I thought you said you're going to be quiet.
Oh, sorry. I'm on mute.
Moving on, we find out Dawn has a crush on Spike and that she feels safe around him. Spike did not take that comment well, that's for sure. I mean, he's bad and evil, and that's a horrible thing to say to him. He's not. He's got feelings, you know. Whilst all of this has been going on, a massacre has taken place at Sunnydale Station. I wonder who it could be. And then Buffy finds out Spike loves her. Duh. I think we all had the same reaction as Xander when she told Xander that Spike loves her. I was giggling away. But that laughter was quickly drained away from him when Xander finds out that Dawn has a crush on Spike and not him. Poor Xander. Spike then goes on a date with Buffy, to which she quickly ridicules him about. I mean, how could she not like the date? There is something really wrong with her. I mean, it was so romantic with the drink, bourbon, the music. I love the Ramones, by the way. The abandoned warehouse. Setting the abandoned warehouse setting, and the two vampire poofters were clearly plants to leave Buffy alone to have a little smooch. Very disappointed with Buffy's reaction. It was not own. Anyhow, we find out that Drew is back in town. Hooray! We're all glad to see Drew back, except for Harmony. She wanted Boo Boo all to herself, bless her. Drew seemingly rejuvenates Spike as he returns back to his old self by biting that young woman in the bronze. I must say that I would have sympathy for the death of the young man and woman in the bronze, but they really should have gotten a room. I mean, they were... they were really getting too hot and bothered right in front of everyone.
They weren't bothering anybody. They weren't on the dance floor.
Got what was coming to them.
Note to self, no public displays of affection anywhere around Bratters.
Finally, Buffy goes to Spike to sort out this whole love thing, only to be zapped by Drew, who was then zapped by Spike. Buffy rejects Spike again, bitch, and then Spike is rejected by Drew and Harmony. Why does Spike want Buffy so much? I don't get it. She just beats the crap out of him and clearly doesn't love him. He needs to get over it ASAP. Drew would have been a much better choice. And to compound it all, Spike is then prevented from entering the Summers household. All in all, a great Spike episode, and by the end, I believe that you really feel compassion for him. He wants Buffy desperately and sacrifices all his ties to Harmony and even his sire Drusilla. He is left with nothing at the end, which is really quite sad. I give this episode a 9 out of 10 vampire poofs. Keep up the great work with the podcast. I look forward to hearing your opinions on this episode from Bratters.
Thank you, Bratters.
A good point. He did. He gave up a lot, turning his back on Drew. Yeah.
Last email is from Cheryl. Feedback for Crush. I often forget how much I like this episode. It's awkwardly romantic, and Spike tries so hard. Drusilla is back! She doesn't seem to be quite as crazy in this episode, but at least that makes her more tolerable. I really like Harmony's character in this episode. Although she's a ditz, she can hold her own, and she kind of saves the day. Who would have guessed that? Overall, I think this is just one of those fun episodes. What did the Potentials think of the whole Spike Drew Harm Buffy fight scene? Cheryl.
What did you guys think of the fight scene?
Well, I was kind of in the middle of being repulsed and being laughing out loudish. Because a lot of it was funny, and that whole Spike trying to make Buffy say that she loved him was way weird.
Mm-hmm. So, I was really confused by it all, so. Because I was still sort of, like, dumbfounded that Spike turned on, like, so quickly on Drusilla. But I just thought it was, you know, whatevs. It was choreographed well.
Very much so. Very much
so. What's weird about the fight scene is it's like, what weapon have we not used before? A okay, a cattle prod. Good idea.
I'll tell you, that's really lame. Almost as lame as the sweater that Joss Whedon is wearing in that picture that Robin posted on the Potential Cast Facebook group. Folks, if you're listening to the show and you're not a member of the Facebook group, first of all, you should be ashamed of yourself. Not really. I don't mean that. Secondly, you really should join the Facebook group. It's awesome. We're at 360 members.
Wow.
I think Josh pulls off that sweater just fine.
Mm.
He was so young. He had all that hair.
Now he just has money.
Yeah, isn't he like, he's cracked the top 100 of the Forbes list.
Listen, not only that, he has giant set of balls for telling everyone, we're going to do Ultron, but we're going to leave Pym out of it.
I don't know. What's a Pym?
Mr. Pym, Hank Pym?
Okay.
I don't even know what an Ultron is.
That's fine. That makes you one of the norms.
Yeah. I do want to read Guardians of the Galaxy because this sounds like a bizarre thing. I just can't wrap my head around it. Anyway.
Facebook group feedback. Dylan says, I have something to say about Harmony's Buffy role-playing scene. I just don't know what it is yet. Hey, Spike just did the classic magic trick of the disappearing cigarette. It's on his ear for a second, and now it's gone. It's Buffy Crime Scene Investigator. It was Buffy CSI. Why is it that when Buffy gets into a romantic, dramatic situation with anybody, it always feels like a bit on a soap opera? You heard it here, people. Charlize Theron, it's threesome approved. Yes.
She's a beautiful lady.
She's a beautiful South African lady. Who snubbed Vickers. I'll never forgive her.
Sure.
Just go to Funny or Die and look up Charlize Theron. Willow's puppy dogs and ribbon sweater is a bit distracting. Even Buffy can't stop looking at it as they talk.
You know, I don't even notice her horrible outfits anymore.
Horrible? They're endearing.
I have to go back.
They're cute. They have like Dalmatians.
I was cleaning up. I was out visiting my parents, and I was cleaning out my bedroom. I found these pair of platform boots.
What?
And the first thing I said was, oh, my God, these are so Buffy. They were so ugly.
Did you do any slaying while wearing them?
I did try to do a kick. I was like, how does she do it in these?
Nice.
I got to take a picture. I'll go back and take a photo of them. They're very like cool. Boots, but they had like the stockings built into the boots, so they came up
what?
To like just over the knee. Wow. You know what I mean? Like it was they weren't like the calf wasn't like hard leather, it was like a stocking. So the boot came over like my knee.
That's weird.
Oh, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought I was so cool.
Clearly not. Patrick Thomas says, Drusilla! Oh no, wait, I skipped over Vincent. Vincent says, Spike's chip, by inhibiting his ability to fully express his natural evil tendencies, forces him to grasp desperately at whatever identity there is left. So he digs deep to try to be the man he once was, but turns out that's pretty difficult when you've been a monster for the past 121 years and don't have a soul, trademark, to keep you centered. For a vampire, there is, as we've seen before, a blurry line between love and hate, between affection and aggression, joy and bitterness, pleasure and pain. Will Spike's feelings for Buffy keep him on the right side of the line? Or did he just become more dangerous than he was even before the chip? Will Spuffy get married and have lots of bleached hair babies? Or will the Sunnydale Peroxide store go out of business? Stay tuned, kids, and find out.
Oh, I need to talk about this. I had said that vampires retain how they were when they were human, mm-hmm. and it's just like turned up a notch, or it's just amped up. It's like, and he said that he didn't remember anything about that from the show, and I believe I'm getting either my True Blood mythology or my Vampire Diaries mythology confused with the Buffy mythology, because every time True Blood comes back, I have to say, okay, now, what's the mythology here? And it's just easy to confuse
them. What are you trying to remember?
I had said that when somebody's turned into a vampire in Buffy, the personality that they were as a human is amplified.
Yeah.
But I believe I'm talking about Caroline on the Vampire Diaries.
And on Buffy, there's a few different... Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. On Buffy, there's a few different conflicting things that different people say. Uh-huh. And some... Like Giles will say that the demon takes over and the person is gone. They mention that a couple times. But Giles is kind of wrong sometimes, too. I mean, he's coming from the Watchers Council. But then there's that thing in, I was in Doppelgangland? I'm trying to remember. But one where they're saying that they don't retain who they are, and Angel starts to disagree. And then he stops and says, yeah, right, right. Yeah, they don't retain. So there is a conflict in there in Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
What was that episode? What was the episode when Spike and Buffy, they were under that spell, but they were madly in love with each other?
Something blue.
Something blue.
Something blue.
Mm-hmm. Something blue. Is there some leftover from that? Because that's the only reason why I can think, like, Spike has feelings for Buffy.
Well, you know, something that I haven't seen mentioned at all is back on School Hard, the two of them have... It's the only time I've ever seen Buffy actually kind of flirt with a monster. And when he first comes in and the two of them are talking and stuff, he's very... suggestive with her, and she goes right along with it. And so there is something different between them from the beginning.
Patrick says, so this episode, Spike's feelings for Buffy stop being kind of funny and just become uber creepy, but at least we get more Drew makes everything better. Drusilla.
Bob DeGrand says, Drusilla, can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Bob DeGrand. Bob, glad you're feeling better. Drusilla, hey. Poor Spike, he throws aside not only Harmony, who can actually put up with him, and Drusilla for Buffy, who can't stand him. Spike is in great scenes with all of them, as well as his scary story with Dawn. I hope you like Dawn in this episode. Buffy, as she often does, really annoyed me in this episode, being obnoxious to both Spike and Dawn, far beyond what they both deserved. Mercedes McNabb was one of those who auditioned for Buffy, and she finally gets to play the Slayer a bit this episode.
<That's awesome. laughs> Cute. Someone says, Anya, sparkly top, dancing. Poor Spike. Attack of the girlfriends. I just want to swoop in and take him away from all that crazy. Harm in her Slayer getup, strangely adorable. Willow in her post-spell headaches, sad face. Ben! He has other clothes that aren't scrubs. The Ramones, Date Night, Buffy and Spike, and those two vampires whose movie night was rudely interrupted. I know, Jiffy Pop.
Yeah.
I love Spike and Dawn together, and I adore Xander being all, but she loves me. It's always been me. And the laughter, smiley face.
Simone's coming to the United States.
Yay.
Hey.
Julia Good says, poor Harmony. Nobody ever takes her seriously. Spike's idea of a date is just sad. Hilarious? Ridiculous? I can't decide. Maybe all three.
Grant says, mass murder on the Sunnydale Express. Drusilla doesn't believe in science. She's a Republican. That's for you, Illyria.
I'm sure there are Republicans who believe in science, so long as it's free market science. Yep. Ina says, Ina does not say her middle name. Ina says, I love this episode. It's got all my favorites. Drusilla, Harmony, lots of Spike. He's adorable, creepy, and sad at the same time. And that expression on his face at the end when he realizes he's shut out of Buffy's house. Great stuff.
And Diana says, I usually adore Joyce, mom of two teenagers, but the line about Have you done anything to make him think you like him? It's just bad. Love Buffy's response. Won't quote, but love her description of what gets vampires interested, just like Slayers. Hungry, horny, and wait, think that metaphor went awry.
Karen says, great ending. Rich says, I love this episode a lot. It's not really known as one of the greats, but to me, it's just entertaining the whole time. My favorite part, when Spike is finally telling Buffy how he feels in the warehouse, and he immediately goes from goofy, love-struck puppy to creepy stalker guy. I don't want to quote, but it's a transformation that takes literally 2 seconds, and it just shows you that no matter how funny and sweet he can be underneath, he's still just a freaking psychopathic vampire. James Marsters is also just the bee's knees the whole time. Harmony was also fantastic. By the way, Rich originally wrote, fuck, I said freak because momentarily I was within earshot of a child. He then adds, oh yeah, and Dawn, not so bad here. I liked all her scenes with Buffy and Spike.
Diana, and all those Spike scenes with Joyce. Oh, Joyce, don't get us started again. Laughing about some wacky shipment to the gallery. Guess he forgave her for hitting him with an axe, and she forgave him for being a vampire. I guess passions bonded them together.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your feedback, everyone. All right, let's rate this sucker.
Yes. Who wants to go first? Robin?
What?
Yeah, go for it, Robin. Tell us what you think.
Well, I mean, this episode is actually, written and directed well. I have no problems with the production of this episode.
Oh, let me interrupt you. Let me ask you: is that director? Is he from 6 Feet Under?
The director of this episode?
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I'm just stalling because I'm looking it up. I don't know. What's the director's name?
Is it David Attias?
Daniel Attias.
I believe he's done some 6 Feet Under.
I knew his name looked familiar. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Does he work on Dexter now?
Stop asking me all the questions. This is the one I didn't come prepared for.
Are we the only intro cast that doesn't talk about who writes and directs the episodes?
David Fury wrote the episode.
Yeah.
Well, David Fury was definitely on the Spike is evil side. And at this point, a lot of the cast and crew were getting very worried about people thinking Spike was a good role model or something. Because James Marsters has quotes during this period where he's telling everybody in the audience, girls, if your boyfriend is mean to people, he'll be mean to you. Don't go with the bad boy. Pick a nice guy and things like that. So they were a little concerned about the message they were sending out. Mm-hmm. And David Fury, I think, on this episode was definitely trying to point out that this guy was very twisted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that really is one of the most interesting things about this is that it's not an easy thing. This is not going to be Angel. You know, and Spike's a different character. I don't know. It ends up in this very twisted love square at the end. It's kind of disturbing. It's still a really, like I said, solidly written and directed episode. I'm just not sure if I'm a big fan of Spike during this. I don't know. I would say it's a solid, like, I'll give it a 7 out of 10 Slayer sweaters.
Good. Carol,
she wore it well.
I really like this episode because it is complicated. I'm not sure I like, I mean, Spike isn't somebody I would like to know, but I really like him as a character on the show. I think he adds a lot to it, and he's really fun to watch. So many great scenes between Spike and Dawn and telling monster stories by a monster and, you know, all sorts of cool stuff all the way through. So I'm going to have to go with 9 8.9 out of 10 lame date nights.
Wow.
Wow.
Tammy, what'd you think?
All right. So because I'm Gabby tonight, I have to add an extra point because there was the bronze. Mm-hmm. And I have to add a point because there was Spike. And I feel like Gabby would have really, really liked this episode. So I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 Spike's updated wardrobe.
Nice. Okay. We have actually, Gabby's feedback here.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
Go ahead, guys.
Oh, cool.
So it says...
She hated this episode.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. The bronze Spike Drew. Harms sexy role-playing as Buffy. Buffy finds out that Spike hearts her. Other than Buffy being a complete bitka, it was good stuff, and I give it 9 out of 10 declarations of love.
Nice.
See, I think we would have had good debate with Gabby tonight, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Steph?
I loved it because... You know, like I said, I feel complete and utter disgust at Spike. And I love television to make me feel so. And I love that Buffy is just completely oblivious to what's going on, even though, like, Drusilla knew it, has known about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I give it 10. I mean, it had Joyce. It had everything. And then Drew's back. 10 out of 10. Hold on. Where's it at? Unconfirmed. Unconfirmed reports of trauma to the neck.
Nice. Well, I really enjoyed this episode. Spike got creepy, but I kind of overlooked it because of the awesome hilarity that I experienced, especially with Harmony and Xander and such. So I'm going to give this episode 9 out of 10 references to Angel.
I like this episode. I didn't love it. My rating will probably be higher than my feelings. Does that make sense? Like, I enjoyed the episode.
It does.
That's why I was like, I like the writing and directing, and I think it's a good episode, but...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Because Drusilla was in it, my favorite. I thought Harmony was hilarious. Spike, as much as I was indifferent to him much before, like, I'm not, like, a super Spike fan like other podcasters, Gabby, but I enjoy him, and I like that there was him in this episode. I don't know. I wanted to actually find out more about Ben and Glory in this episode because the ending of last episode was just sort of like, oh, wow. Like, it was just so good. And I was a little bit disappointed that they were kind of hinting that way. And then all of a sudden it became this. Say it like that. Like, it was this. Ugh. Which is not because it was a good episode.
Yeah.
So, again, I'll give it 9 out of 10 role playings. Games.
Nice.
Role playing games.
Fantastic. That's what we thought. You can tell us what you think. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
That is correct. You can call us 270-40 Buffy. Call us, leave us a voicemail.
Please.
Paul didn't call us for this.
Does the number even still exist?
Yeah, our number exists fine. Paul calls almost every episode, but he didn't for this one. Maybe he was busy being a guest on another podcast.
I'm thinking of Redemption Cast. No one ever calls that one.
No one ever calls that
one. Yeah, and it's funny because he was a guest on our podcast and he sent us a voicemail. So obviously he could have sent one to you. But...
Yeah, exactly. Lazy bum. You can join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/potentialcast. There's a spoiler group if you want to talk about spoilers, but on our group, keep it spoiler free, please. And you can follow us on the Twitter. We might be active.
The Twitter.
You can go to potentialcast.com, which is where we post the show notes and direct download links. That is where you will find direct links to seasons 1, 2, and 3 of Potential Cast. I think season 4 I still need to put up. We'll see when that happens. All right, it's quote time. And I say, our guest goes first. Carol, what is your quote?
Spike, just give me something, a crumb, the barest smidgen. Tell me maybe someday there's a chance. Buffy, Spike, the only chance you had with me was when I was unconscious.
Oh!
What a bleeding hell is wrong with you bloody women? And what the hell does it take? Why do you bitches torture me? Which question do you want me to answer first?
I hated that line. When Buffy said that, which one do you want me to answer first? I was just like, can I break through the TV and kick her in the face?
Why? I didn't like it when she called him over and like almost like a tease before she said, you know, the only chance you had with me was when I was unconscious. But I loved his lines just because it was so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
It was so incredibly messed up and typical of someone who's really, really messed up.
But I did like, okay, not that she was a tease about it, but when she, you know, there is no doubt about it, there is no way that she will ever find him attractive.
I hope so. If they even hint at it and she starts to have feelings for Spike, I'm done. I'm telling you guys right now.
Oh, we forgot to talk about this. Drusilla's scars from when she was burned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Great touch.
Yeah. She's still healing.
Continuity.
I gave you the best bunch of months of my life.
I have one. This is Buffy. Hanging out with Spike is not cool, Dawn. Okay? It's dangerous and icky.
I have a Spike quote.
Is that the good one?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I think it sums up this episode very well.
All right. So I have Spike. So I rip it open. Very violent. Haul her out of there. And then I give her to a nice, good family in a nice home where they've never been mean to her and didn't lock her in a coal bin.
Ew.
Okay. Honey, did you somehow unintentionally lead him on in any way, send him signals? I do beat him up a lot for Spike. That's like third base. Okay, now we need to talk about predictions. What do you guys think? This is the new thing. I forgot last time.
Mm-hmm.
This is new. I decided.
Grand podcast. Theft Auto.
You each have to tell what you think the next episode will be about. Or in the near future, what will happen.
Okay. What's the episode called?
Okay, next week is, or next time, I Was Made to Love You.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I think it has hopefully something to do with Glory and Ben. Because maybe Glory was a spoiled little brat and she needed a friend. So her crazy witch parents created Ben, who was supposed to be like her friend, but somehow became part of her. I don't know. That's my guess. He was made to love her. Or it's like her kid, her son somehow. I don't know. I just want to know how they're connected.
Okay.
I'm thinking one of two possible things. One, Spike turns to witchcraft and forces Buffy to love him, so she's being made to love him. Or Spike turns to witchcraft and makes someone that will love him.
Mm. Interesting.
That looks like Buffy.
Yeah. Or wait, third one. The key was made into Dawn so that Dawn could show Spike the meaning of Twoov.
She's 14. Let's not get... No.
I think if it's anything to do with Donna, it'd be too on the nose.
That's true. Oh, well.
We know. But they love doing that on this show, so. Oh, sorry, Robin. Jeez.
Oh, no. I just realized that Steph had fallen
That's
off
okay.
The
I think she's back
nothing
on
to do with you.
I'm back.
Yeah. Okay, I guess you'll have to listen to the show to get my prediction.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah. Sorry.
However, do you want to
ask? Lirio just did this great prediction, and Robin's like, ugh. And I thought, but as we cut, Stephanie dropped off the call.
That's awesome. All right. Carol?
Here's a question yes. for you before we go.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that Spike can be redeemed after this? I mean, he went pretty far.
Yeah, I think he can because he's done so much. I'm doing air quotes again. Good. Because of that chip in his head.
Hmm.
I honestly think if he hadn't had that chip, we wouldn't be seeing any Spike at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He would have either went on his way or yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or he would be dead.
Yeah. I don't know. Redeemed. Ugh.
I think he has a chance to. I do.
I don't think he needs to.
He shouldn't.
I think that he's less pathetic if he's actually being himself instead of trying to impress someone. And I think right now he's all trying to impress someone, and that's not cool.
But why does the vampire slayer need a vampire on her side?
I don't know.
Like, yeah, sure, it'll come up. It'll probably be a good thing to have in her back pocket later on. When she's fighting some sort of other big bad, maybe, but I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
Yeah. Agreed. It's a little me.
I think it's because Angel got his own show. Angel was still in the Buffy universe in Sunnydale. All the stuff that we're seeing with Spike would have been with Angel, and it would have been much more meaningful. Mm. I think that their back and forth, will they, won't they, would have been more enticing than the Spike and Buffy, because I just find it's out of convenience, and I just don't like it. Hmm. It's just, I don't like it.
Never thought of Spike as a substitute for Angel. Interesting.
Why else would they need him there?
Because he's cool and popular.
Well, yeah.
Should I say what James Marsters has always said he thought the reason Spike was brought on was?
I don't know. Is it going to spoil us?
No.
Okay, then go.
No.
Do it.
Okay.
Say it.
He said that they brought him back to be more a Cordelia type, someone who would say to Buffy, you know, you're stupid and we're all going to die. And
Isn't that what Anya's for?
Well, that's what he said. He said that Anya turned... Anya... That he wasn't good at that because he couldn't be in the sunlight, and Anya turned out to be so much better at it than Spike. So,
okay.
So they had to find some other use for Spike.
There we go. Poor Spike. Carol, thanks for joining us.
Yes,
oh, thank you.
Sorry to deal with the worst recording of Potential
Cast
ever.
Yeah, this was weird. Where can we hear you? Do you have a podcast?
I do not have a podcast.
All right. Well,
you should get one.
People can hear you on our show.
Everybody's got one.
Even that guy.
Tammy, thanks for sitting in. Robin, thanks for being you. Steph, Kim, as always. Pardon?
Oh, Tammy.
I thank Tammy.
I didn't.
Yeah, I said, oh. Tammy, yeah. Thanks for sitting in.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought everybody but
I felt okay.
I am the worst host.
Oh.
Kim.
Oh, sorry. Steph dropped off the call again.
What?
Stephanie dropped off the call.
I am going to say something soon. And no one's going to like it.
Hey. Namaste,
Steph,
everybody.
You back?
Okay, bye.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Yay.
Bye.
I'm a terrible host.
Well, no sea breeze for you.
No sea breeze for me. Carol's joining us.
Yeah.
Just waiting for Kim to reset her computer.
I can sit on mute, guys, if you want. I mean,
that's fine. We could all be fine. Just be polite and let our guests talk more than you.
Yeah, I'll just be quiet for this one.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, I'm a terrible host.
You're not a terrible host.
Oh, I forgot about you.
Oh, then you're a terrible host.
Thank you.
Oh, is it me?
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I'm just trying to see where the echo.
I'm echoing.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Now I'm not.
It's weird. It comes and goes. Damn it.
The fat scene, is it me? Hello?
No, I don't know.
Hello.
It was there and now it's gone.
Steph was just echoing.
Yeah. Well,
this echo is...
Yeah.
Yeah, Kim, can you turn down your headphones or something?
I don't even hear an echo.
Really?
Yeah, that's
at all.
Yeah, that means it's you.
It might be, yeah. So can you turn down your headphones? They might be bleeding into your microphone.
Sure.
Thanks.
You didn't mean it.
Can you still hear
us,
Kim?
How's that?
Can you hear us, Kim?
I can't hear you.
Well, turn us up a bit.
There we go. How's that?
I know she couldn't hear me say turn us up a bit, okay? I said it anyway. Kim, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
I can
still
hear the echo. I don't know where it's coming from, guys.
All right. Can I hear the echo? No, I can't hear the echo anymore.
Hello?
Hello?
I think it's the echo gremlin jumping around.
Yeah. Oh, Skype. You piece of free shit. A Facebook feedback some more?
Sure.
Yes. There isn't very much left. Next up, who's gay?
This is a David Fury episode that actually he did.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. I tell you, this is not going well.
Hello?
Hello.
That was me. I apologize. That was...
Who's drunk?
I'm not drunk. That's the thing. I wish I was. I hit the wrong button. I keep trying to add Kim, and then I hit the button. It was red, and it didn't look like a hang-up button at the time that I clicked on it, but it was. So I hung up on all you bitches. And Robin.
Thank you.
Sorry, Carol, you were saying?
That's ridiculous.
But if you must have had some sort of, like, obviously mental addiction.
Now I can't get Steph on. And I don't mean Steve Urkel's alt. Oh, there you go.
Are you talking about me, Seth?
Seriously, man. What is going on?
Potential Cast is the hottest podcast going.
I mean, it's okay to have this many people on. I have ridiculous bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
What's this icon?
It's Steph's plastic hat.